your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey, Driven Woman, I'm really eager to share today's guest with you and a funny little story about how this podcast episode came to be. I'm joined today by Kyra Mitchell Lewis, who is the founder and CEO of Glow Up Girl, an online membership community for women looking for balance and purpose, and Glow Getter University, which has tracks for personal evolution and entrepreneurship. There's a link to a free university account if you scroll down in the show notes. Now, if you have been listening to the Driven Woman podcast for even a minute, you've probably heard me say that I believe any woman can be an entrepreneur if she really wants to. Kyra possesses the traits that I believe every entrepreneur must have in order to be successful in this crazy world of online business. Now, as you listen to our conversation in this interview, you will easily see that her mindset is her biggest asset. Nothing is going to stop this girl. Nothing's going to discourage her. Nothing's even going to slow her roll. She is probably one of the most positive, optimistic, and resilient women I have met since I started this podcast. Let me tell you a little something. When we decided to meet and record the two episodes back to back, one for Kyra's podcast, which you absolutely must check out, called Glow Up Girl, and this one for The Driven Woman, I cannot believe how many tech challenges we had that interrupted the whole recording experience. I mean, we literally had to stop and start over and stop and start over and stop and start over. It was so annoying. But each time, instead of getting frustrated or getting angry, Kyra just laughed and picked right back up again. It was amazing. Some of the takeaways that I want you to listen for in this interview are why Kyra started Glow Up Girl and who she serves, how she leads from an attitude of gratitude, and we talk a lot about the difference between women and men as entrepreneurs because Kyra and her husband are both entrepreneurs in different businesses. Now, when I connect with another female entrepreneur as driven, hardworking, and generous as I am eager to partner with her again, which is why I said hell yes to Kyra's invitation to speak at her upcoming online summit on Thursday, October 28th. It's called Youvolution. And whether you are an entrepreneur or simply want to evolve to the next version of yourself, the summit is a must. First of all, the price point is very accessible, and the lineup of speakers is inclusive and has women speaking on mindset, business coaching, success, confidence, all the things you need to know, including me. There is a link to register for the summit also in the show notes. Now, I'm really eager to share Kyra with you because she just thinks differently. And even though mindset is something that we do need to cultivate and develop over time, I think you're going to benefit just from listening to her in this episode. Let me know. DM me on Instagram and DM her too while you're at it. And let us know what you think of this conversation between two female entrepreneurs. Are you ready? Let's go. So Kyra, you have a community for female entrepreneurs that gives them a place to belong, gives them a place to share resources, share support, share information, and most importantly, to be able to create businesses and lives that are balanced and purposeful. That's kind of a big ticket.
Yes.
That's a big plan, a big vision. How did you decide to start your business and serve this particular group? It's a big dream, a big vision. And did you get a message from heaven, or how did all this begin?
Well, it was a combination of things, because it was me. It was my life. I was walking through this feeling of overwhelm. It was 2019. I was burnt out. I was overwhelmed. I was doing like every other woman in the world, like juggling. I had all these balls up in the air and I was like, oh my God, this, I was moving. So I know you can't see me on the audio, but just imagine like the games where they're like trying to catch the balls. So I was just juggling so much. And I decided that summer to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. And best decision I ever made in my entire life. Like one of them. I mean, I've probably made some good ones here and there, but
let's not tell your husband that you said that's the best decision, because he'll probably say marrying him, but
right.
Let's just keep this between us, right?
That's right. Between us friends. So I started going to therapy, and what it opened my eyes up to is that I didn't have any boundaries. Like we think we have boundaries. Like we think we're telling people, you know, no, I need my self-care. I need my me time. And I put my me first. I prioritize myself, but really I wasn't. And when I had a licensed professional start to question me about how I was prioritizing myself and what boundaries did I have in place? It was like, nope, you don't have any, girl. Mm. So I sort of started on this like mission to really like build my boundaries and begin to enforce them. So at work, whereas I would always be the person to say, oh yeah, I'll take that on, I'll do it. I had to start saying, actually, no, I have X number of projects right now. I can't take this on this week. You know, like let's maybe revisit it. But what I realized along the way, so by the time I got to like November, December, other people like in my friend circles or people I work with started to notice the change. And they were like, what are you doing? And then I started just talk about it. I was like, oh, well, I'm putting my mental health first. I'm going to therapy. I was called out about not having boundaries. I accepted that as a, you know, opposed to like getting on the defense about it. I accepted that. And I started trying to implement that. But what that sounded off in my head was that you're not the only person dealing with this. And in that time frame, it seemed like between November and December, I was just having a lot of conversations with like either friends or people that I worked with that were like entrepreneurs or people that were just women in the corporate workforce that felt like, well, I feel like I want to talk about these things, but I don't have a place to do it. Like there was no safe space for us. And then also for entrepreneurs, how dare you, woman, want to like be employed, but have a, you know, business on the side. So I was hearing all of that. And then, of course, you get to December. It's at the end of the year. I'm sort of like sitting at my kitchen table praying to God, just sort of talking about like, Lord, I just want to be able to give back, give this feeling I have to other women. I don't know how to do it. I need you to tell me. I said, but, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I've had a lot of businesses that didn't exactly like didn't work, which I'm totally fine with that. Like I tell people all the time, like I am definitely a person that I'm going to try something. And if it doesn't work. But what I heard was the words glow up. And I was like, first of all, yes, I looked around and I was like, what?
You're like, wait a second, is that glow up or grow up? I want to make sure I got this.
But then what it immediately came to me that it was about this internal growth and internal glow up. So obviously everybody out there in the world knows, you know, like the standard definition of what the popular culture calls it. It's like, oh, you used to look this way. Now you look this way. But when I heard the words glow up and I immediately was like, glow up, girl. And it was like, look at you, girl, growing. Look at you growing on the inside. Look at you evolving and becoming a better version of yourself. And so I heard that and I immediately started to plan. Like I started to put the pieces together to build this community. And then I was going to launch in May of 2020 originally.
We all know what a good time that was. May of 2020. That's a great time to start.
I was going to soft launch in March and then have an event in May. So I was all like planning, getting my stuff together. And then COVID was like, So I had to pivot just like everybody else. And started to think about, again, I found myself in the same place at the same table and just sort of thinking about like, what can I do now that, because I don't want to lose this momentum. This is more important now than it was last year when I started thinking about doing it. And that's when I heard the words podcast. And I did the same thing. And I'll tell everybody out there, because I do like to tell the story. I mean, because as soon as you have, you get a great idea and God gives you a plan, your inner mean girl, like she immediately speaks up to tell you what you can't do. So
you can count on that. In fact, yes. You know, anytime we decide we're going to create any sort of change at all, your brain is like, that is the worst idea you've ever had.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't want to work harder.
Mm-mm. It was
just
like,
wants you to maintain where you're at.
Exactly. And she was like, girl, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. And I was like, and for about like 2 minutes, I let that like sort of swirl in my brain of like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe you're right. Like, but then, you know, I said, nope, but I know that this is all purpose driven. This is so important to me because it is the life and is the journey that I'm on. So of any business that I've had, you know, this one means the most and is the most fulfilling because I'm walking the journey too.
Okay, I got to break this down because you have dropped so many truth bombs. I'm going to have to roll us back just a little bit here and pick some of them up and go a little deeper, okay? First of all, I mean, I'm just amazed that your inner mean girl had her way with you for 2 minutes. That has got to be a world record. Seriously? Like, most people can be laid out flat by their inner critic. And it's like you're in a boxing ring and you're like the featherweight and your inner mean girl is the heavyweight. So that's impressive to me. What's also impressive is that you have already started multiple businesses and you understand that just because they haven't succeeded in the way that you imagined, it didn't convince you that you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. And I think for everyone listening, this is so, so important. I talk a lot about the entrepreneurial mindset. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important ingredients in an entrepreneurial mindset is resiliency. And what is resiliency? Mm-hmm. It's not not failing. It's when you fail, because you will, you get back up. And you say, okay, that didn't go the way I thought. I wonder what I need to do differently. You don't take it as evidence that you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. So like you really understand that. I think it's also fascinating that you were hearing from both women in corporate and entrepreneurs that we're doing too much. We are juggling too much. We're feeling spent. We're feeling exhausted. We're feeling burnt out. This is not satisfying. The ones who have a job are thinking they want to have their own business. And the ones who have their own business are thinking they want to go back to the job. And neither one is the right answer. The right answer is to be intentional and purposeful, but to put you in the top spot. Easier said than done, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Oh, very much. I mean, I would even find myself, you know, as I was going through, or even today, like going through my own just personal journey, it's saying, you know, like 1 week being or a month being really, really strong and like prioritizing me and not taking anything and just like, you know, moving the ball down the field in the direction of things that I want. But then there's always that moment where something will knock you back. It'll knock you down. And the thing that's important that I realized is that it's okay because we all have moments where we slip or where we backtrack. It's to be able to acknowledge that. And then to say, because one thing, like my therapist always says to me, like, she's like, you just have to honor how you feel. Like, you don't have to act on something. But what I got in the habit of is like, you know, because I do work a corporate job every day. When I am, you know, when people are just like really grating on my last nerve and I feel like, oh my God, one more email comes through or one more person calls me and asks me about something that's crazy that I've already told them,
I'm going to lose my mind.
Lose my, you know what? Yeah. So it was just being able to say, like, I honor that I'm angry. I got there. Or if I'm sad, or if somebody, you know, if something happens where I feel like someone has let me down, or I'm sad by a situation, it's okay. I am saddened by this, or I feel like this, but I don't let it hold me down. Like, you know, you're going to get me, might get me for like 2 hours, might get me for 3 hours. But then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to dust myself off. And then we're going to keep on going, because you won't hold me down for long. And I do love that you said you resilience, because I've had a number of people who always say that about me. My old manager, as a fact, always says, you are like one of the most resilient people I know. She's like, oh my God, like you just don't stop. She's like, I don't know how. She's like, I don't know how you manage to run your business and have a full-time job and get knowing the work that you do here. And she's like, and I know you're putting in even more in your own business. She's like, I just don't know how you do it. And I was and for me, I'm like, I have this one life. I have this life that I was given. And when you feel that you have been given this purpose, I was like, there's one thing to just be operating in every day.
Just going through the motions.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. when you're operating and you're moving to something that you know you've been purposely called to do, it requires a different mindset. Mm-hmm. It immediately causes you to like act a different way. Like you have to, you're holding yourself accountable in a different way. I mean, and you just perform like differently. And you are always like, I always am trying to think like 20 steps ahead, you know, on what I need to be doing for my business, because I know I have to get up every day and I have to work my regular job from like, you know, 7:30 to like 5:30, 6 o'clock. But then I know then I carve out the moments for me to be able to do the things. And I'm intentional about how I spend my time with my business. And it took me a while to get there. So
can we talk about that, Kyra? Because I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of women that say, you know, it sounds very appealing to just give your boss the middle finger, walk out of there with your box of goodies and say, I'm going to start my own business. But the reality is that that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on that new business to mm-hmm. reward you financially. And a new business is like a baby. Like they don't know mm-hmm. how to walk and run and play football. And, you know, they don't know how to, you know, reward you. So yeah. You need to take care of that. But there's so much that you learn about yourself that even though it sounds demanding, because it is, mm-hmm. the safest way to start a business is as a side hustle. Now, mm-hmm. in order to do that well and not have it be an expensive hobby that just takes you away from friends and family and Netflix, yeah. you do have to be really, really intentional. Do you think that you are intentional by nature, or is that something that you learned? Because I know working all day for most people, all they want to do is come home, have something to eat that doesn't take too long to prepare or clean up, and relax with some Netflix and call it a day. To actually be planning and conserving energy for that purposeful effort after a day of work. Talk about that. And how did you get there?
Well, you know, it takes me sort of back to my younger days when I first like started working. And so for me, it's always about like, it's about growing, right? It is about like growing into a place to where you can prioritize and be intentional about how you spend your time. Because I think about when I was younger. I mean, yeah, when I was younger, I was like, get me out of this job. Let me go home. Let me hang out. Let me like watch TV, whatever, da, da, da. And then, I don't know, something just happened one day where I was like, you know.
Is that what happened? You turned 30?
It was actually before then. Okay. It was actually like in my late 20s where I just realized that like it was like me as a person, right? I was like, I needed to put my best foot forward in everything. Because I think sometimes when we're young, we think we have all this time, we can do all these things. And, you know, I'm a twin. So I'm going to just sort of dig back in the archives for just a minute. Mm-hmm. I was a twin, and we were preemies, and my brother did not live because I was born in February, so I'm an Aquarian and I'm a true aqua. So, and we were born in February, but we were really supposed to come in April, and his lungs weren't fully developed. And so I don't know if there was this moment where I hit around about like 25, 26, and I started to realize that my life was just a gift in general, because I could have been the child that did not live. And so people would always make fun of me because, like, I celebrate my birthday like all month, and I'm all like, blah, blah, my birthday and everything.
It's a much bigger deal for you.
Exactly. And so I started to apply that to like all parts of my life to say, so am I going to waste like these gifts that God gave me? Am I going to waste this opportunity? Because you want to be doing more. And then there's sort of like this like burning feeling on the inside where it's like, even when I didn't have businesses, I just felt like I should be doing something more. Like, it wasn't enough for me to just like go to somebody's job and get a check. Like, I always felt like on the inside, like there was just something more that I was supposed to be giving to the world. So I have been very in any of the businesses that I've started. I mean, they've all been very like intentional, and I've thought about like, what do I want to give to others? So it wasn't just like, you know, like I'll say my husband, he's an entrepreneur. He always makes fun of me because he always says, he's like, man, you do come up with some really great ideas, but like all of your businesses never start with like how you're actually going to make money. And all my, you know, he goes, I mean, like, that's a great idea, but like, how are you going to make money? And I was like, I never walk into a business opportunity. Like, I've never thought about that, because if I'm doing what is in the will of God and the purpose, then the money will come. Like, I just need to take the gift that he's given me and the plan that he said, hey, you need to do this. I need to do my part, and the rest will be figured out.
This is something I hear so often, Kyra, when there are two entrepreneurs in a family, or when one person has the corporate job and the woman wants to start her own business and she's on fire. She's super excited. She's really fired up about it. She can't wait to do it. She has such a sense of purpose and mission and vision. Mm-hmm. And then her partner says, so how much money are you going to make with this thing? And then she gets upset. Why are you always going on about the money? It's like, because, honey, if it ain't making money, it ain't a business. It's a hobby. And I hear this all the time. But, you know, most women really resonate with the term heart-centered entrepreneur or purpose-driven entrepreneur. Now, there's plenty of ladies out there that are making bank, and that's what their intended goal is. And I say more power to them. But for women like you, your main thrust, what makes you a driven woman, is that you feel called to make a difference. I also love the story about how you realized at some point that your life is a gift. Many of the women that I've known and worked with either lost someone close to them growing up. Several of them lost their mother while they were still in childhood or adolescence. Some of them lost a sibling or a grandparent they were really close to, or had a health scare of their own and realized, you know, we may think we have all the time in the world. We may think, oh, I'll get to that. But if there's something that you want to do, the time really is now. The future is not guaranteed. Right. And you might not be here. I'm adopted. So I had this notion that I'm not even supposed to be here technically. You know, I was born before the time that there were other options for an unwanted pregnancy other than adoption. But when you realize you are here and you're not here just to take up space, what can you do with your gifts, your abilities, your interests, your passion, your drive that will make the world a better place for you having been in it? And that does get you up every day. And it sounds like in your case, it keeps you up at night because you're doing this after hours. Now, I got to ask you about this, Kyra. Your husband is an entrepreneur, and I know that he has been self-employed since before you guys got married. What do you think, if any, are the differences between a man who's an entrepreneur and a woman like yourself? Because you've had the opportunity to see up close and personal. Are they the same or not?
Nope.
Somehow I knew where you were going to go with that, but
not at all.
Talk to me.
It's definitely been an interesting ride, because I will say, like, whereas with, say, myself, you know, I went into this business and, you know, money wasn't the first thing I was thinking about. It was making an impact. Whereas, you know, for him, it was very much like, I want to make some money. I got to make this money. And also what's interesting is because his business has, you know, highs and lows. There's some months where he's going to make a lot of money. Some months it's going to be quiet. Well, it's funny because, like, we know this. We've seen this calendar play out several times. Mm-hmm. But yet you come home and you're talking about it and you're like, woe is me. You know, so it's a difference in the sense of, like, where as with women, you know, I'm always trying to find the silver lining. I'm always trying to be positive about it, because guess what? It could be worse. Like, it could be. So, you know, so I always try to grab it like that. But, you know, with him, I notice it's always like, if he has, like, say there's 7 days in the week that people are coming and buying from you, if two of those days are bad days, then the week just wasn't good. Wasn't a great week. Nope. Wasn't a great week. Not at all. And then I'm like, but didn't you just say that, like, you doubled?
This is kind of seasonal, and there are ups and downs, which we have seen over quite some years. And
I mean, you're in a retail space. So, of course, it's like up and down. And so, so I'm like, so why are we complaining? Well, you just don't understand. You don't get it because you have a check that comes in. Like, you know when you're going to get paid. And I was like,
But that's not where you find your security. You find your security in what you know you're capable of. I always say every woman should work like she's the one signing her checks, no matter who actually is. Because when you think that circumstances, fate, your customers, the economy, who's in the White House, what season of the year it is, or any of that is responsible for your failure or success, you do not have full ownership of your business. And I think nothing less is required for not only success, but satisfaction. Like, I love knowing I'm where the buck stops. I really do, because that makes me feel like, well, if they ain't enough bucks, I better get busy. Instead of thinking, oh, those customers, they should be buying more. I have no control over that.
No, you don't. It's definitely up to you to find different channels and different opportunities to bring in the dollar. And, you know, and I also, another thing I think too, it's like when you look at sort of the, I think the work ethic a lot of times between women and men, like, I am almost like, I can go very hard and go very hard. Like, I can work all day. And if I set my mind to something and I know that I need to get this done, I'm going to get done. I'll come back in here in this office and I'll sit down. And honestly, there are a lot of nights where I could just stay up all night and get something, plow something through. But, like, then I remember, like, I'm married and I need to go to bed.
Oh, yeah. So. But honey, that's why you ended up in the therapist office. Remember that a couple of years ago? We don't want you to go back there. It's true. I think when you are a very driven woman, and you are purpose-filled and heart-centered, and you've got people that need you, and you are on fire to serve them, it is an ongoing challenge to remember you actually have to mind your bandwidth and mind your boundaries, or you're going to be back in burnout. It's just a matter of how long it takes you to get there. It's just such a hard lesson.
It is. I mean, because I got there last year, even in the first year of the business. I mean, from, like, March till, like, probably August, I went, like, hard, like, every day after work, every weekend. And I was recording podcasts. I was doing them like all like Friday after work, Saturday all day, and Sunday. Then I was like catching up, you know, and then I was at one point, I was, before I discovered my lovely editor, I was like editing podcasts myself. And then I was just like, oh my God, like I am not going to make it. So I started to give myself a weekend. Like, so I give myself like a 2 Saturdays off.
You're a terrible recording. Boss, by the way. I would never work for you. You're a slave driver.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not. I don't do that to my people.
Only team. No, but you're, wait, hold on a second.
Well, to me.
But you're the boss. You are the CEO.
Mm-hmm, I am. And I do it to myself.
What are we going to do with you?
I don't do it to my people. I'm an excellent man. But I do understand that I have to set the example and I have to mm-hmm. give myself time off. So I started to give myself like, you know, Saturdays off, like a couple Saturdays off from like recording. Yeah. Now I can't help who I am. So I'm still going to like open up emails but I have my list and I pick like, what are the like 5 things I must do? Mm-hmm. But then I only do it. So, you know, with my husband on Saturday, he goes to work. So I work up until he gets home and then I stop and then we have, you know, time. And then on Sunday, mm-hmm. I mean, since we've been home, you know, like still at home, like I will get up, I'll do church online and then I'll work a little bit. And then when it's time to eat breakfast, then I stop and then I chill. I give myself that time. But my brain's like always on as most people that are entrepreneurs, like your brain is always thinking. So I have to like, when something hits me, I come write it down.
Yeah.
And I don't set myself to say like, you can't do something this day because my personality, I am a creative. So when the ideas flow, I have to like, sometimes I have to act then. So then right. I just like take off and I'm like, because at night, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I'll write something, notepad on the side of the bed, either writing that down or it's sort of creepy when you're talking into your phone in the middle of the night. So I just have to like write it really quickly.
But I think that's the creative energy. And, mm-hmm. and when it comes, mm-hmm. it comes and you either stop, drop and roll with it, or you're going to miss that particular burst of enthusiasm. And, you know, I think it can be something that I don't hear many people talking about, but, you know, I had a background as a therapist for a lot of years before I moved mm-hmm. into coaching, and a lot of couples where one is an entrepreneur and the other is not, especially if it's the woman who's the business owner, let's just say there's a little bit of tension around the fact that she is always working. And even when mm-hmm. she's not working, you're smiling. Mm-hmm. She's always thinking about her business. Even he's talking to her and he's like, you're not listening, are you? She's mm-hmm. like, what? Yeah, of course I am. Okay. What was the last thing I said?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's any different with the fact that both you and your husband are entrepreneurs, because I do get in trouble with my husband. He thinks I am obsessed mm-hmm. with my business. And I said, you know, the truth is, it was very clear I had entrepreneurial tendencies all the way mm-hmm. back to childhood, absolutely as a young adult. But I was a single mom for many years with 3 kids mm-hmm. that I supported, and I just did not feel that I could take the financial right. risk. So I wasn't able to act on it till a little bit later in life than you. And now I feel like I'm making up for lost time and I'm just popping all the ideas. And yes. I want to do them. It is more interesting to me to work mm-hmm. on my business than to go out for drinks. It is more fun yeah. for me to talk with a biz bestie about new ideas and new programs and products. That is more interesting to me than going mm-hmm. shopping or things like that. And I think that mm-hmm. can be a little hard for some people to accept. Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I definitely, because like, because I think it's like this, especially like you said, both of us being entrepreneurs, you like a lot of times I'm like, well, then you should understand like where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, he's generally doing stuff when he gets home, you know, still sometimes in the evening, still tinkering with things or whatever. I think it's just harder for men because, you know, and I try to like I have to try to step back sometimes and think about, like, with us, it's like, yeah, we can be spending time with you doing stuff. You know, I could be doing stuff. I'm multitasking, doing like three things and spend time with you. Whereas they require, like, they want all the time. They want you to, like,
your undivided attention.
Yes. Check out everything else. And it's very hard for me to do that.
Because you got like 40 tabs open besides him, right?
Yes. And then like thinking about like all the things, like I was like, ugh. Because there, I'll give you an example. There was, I think it was Monday night, I was planning. I had a list. There were things that I was going to do after I logged off work. And he's, oh, come here. Let's watch this. And I was like, ugh. Oh, so
you're like, oh, well,
I was like,
do I have to?
And I was like, oh, do I watch this or do I like go in the room? Because if I go in the room, and I sacrificed and spent the time because I realized that like I can get caught up in my own world. Like I've been working all day and then I stop only to like come out and I'm like getting a drink. And then I might sit back down and it's easier. It's so much easier like to just work at my desk, just go to the next computer and keep doing things versus like going into the family room. I'm like, if I go in the family room, then a puppy wants to like, he wants to cuddle on mama. And then my husband starts
interrupt your flow, you know, like,
and then my husband starts talking to me and then he's talking. And it's like that thing where I'm like, oh, I was reading. Oh, sorry. I was reading. So what'd you say? Never mind. And so it is sort of like trying to find, like, I'm still in the process of being able to find that perfect, like, balance of like, you know, giving the time that's deserved. And now with things, you know, obviously things are reopening now and people are starting to get back out. And I've just gotten accustomed to like this in the, I can hustle. Like, I'm like, no, because I can work. I got used to like my Saturdays were like, I'm working, I'm plugging away. My Saturday evenings was like, I could still work, but hang out at the same time. And so now I'm trying to figure out how to like reintegrate myself into like some activity. Now, I won't be doing everything because I'm still like, we're going to just see what happens. But, you know, we definitely have that there where my husband, he's like, so are we just going to stay in the house forever? And I'm like, I mean,
you're like, well, I'm really productive here.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, Kyra, because I think, and I'm a hardcore extrovert, but I will tell you, after a year plus, of being at home almost alone. At first, I thought I was going to lose my mind. And then, because I'm adaptable, I'm resilient like you. I got used to it. Then I started getting focused, productive. So many things were happening that wouldn't have. And now I'm like, if I go back out there in the real world, I'm going to give all this up. So I understand that probably sounds crazy to people.
No, it's the truth.
But we do. It's like reintegration. It's like we've been in outer space and now we have to learn how to walk on Earth again.
I know, because I'm like, I mean, and I have this conversation with, I tell my husband this at least like every week. I'm like, I don't know how to like come back. Cause I mean, he was, you know, when we were sheltering, he was here, but then when Georgia reopened, he opened his store. So he's been going to work and I've been in this house with my puppy. And like last week I had to go out because I had to go take something. I had to go into my office to drop something off. Well, I went to work, dropped it off. And then I saw a couple of people when I was there, you know, cool, talk to them. Had to stop and get a prescription on the way home. Now, I've been doing Instacart I was doing Instacart before COVID, but I've been doing Instacart. So since I went to get my prescription, I thought, well, maybe I'll just pick up some things while I'm in here so I don't have to pay Instacart. Well, by the time I got back home, I was tired. I was like, I need a nap because
all these humans just draining your energy.
I was like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I can't do this. I don't know what this is about. So it's definitely been a struggle for me because I'm one of those people that, you know, like you said, a lot has happened over the last year for me that would not have happened if I had not been in this space and open to receiving these yes. opportunities.
And also just using your drive, mm-hmm. your motivation, your passion, your focus to really move things forward. So let's talk about what you have been doing for the last yes. year. You've created this beautiful community for women who want to have passion, purpose, intentionality, and to balance it all, which we both know and we've been talking about, is really an ongoing work yeah. because life continues to provide opportunities and challenges. Mm-hmm. And as much as you and I would both like to do it all, we have that same personality yeah. type. It's not possible. Decisions exactly. have to be made. You yeah. do have to deal with FOMO and having to say no to things and deal with people's mm-hmm. disappointment and all that. So when you created this community, it was with the intention of providing for other women what you yourself need. So tell us about Glow Up Girl and what it includes and what type of woman it's just right for, in case anybody's listening who thinks, oh my goodness, this is the person I've been looking for.
Yes, yes. So Glow Up Girl, our community is really for, I like to say it's for all women, because I think, you know, if we look at the focus of, yes, there are women that are entrepreneurs, but then they're just women who are just growing and evolving. And you're continuing to learn about who you are as a person. So I think that it can be a place for all women to learn, share, and connect. So those are the sort of the pillars of what we look to do, because you can learn you're not learning from me, you're learning from all the fabulous people that I get to interview on my podcast, all the fabulous women who have like contributed coursework to our university. So there's just the opportunity, but you can also connect to people who are just like you, women who are going through similar experiences. The thing I love is being able to, with the podcast, is being able to talk to women who have taken that step, they had jobs, they've been running their business on the side for years, and finally they were able to walk away. Because that to me is just like amazing. You know, it's so great to see somebody say, you know, I started this here and I was doing all these things, I was juggling, but then there came this day where I started to make money. I was in the positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was able to walk away from that daily grind. And I think that just does something. Like, that is so inspirational. So this year in March, we launched Glow Getter University, which is, I have to say, I'm super, super proud of, because I launched this with my everyday job and at a time where I was really super busy at my everyday job, but at night just sort of like building out this learning platform. So it's an online learning community, and you can go in, and there are two membership levels. There's a free membership where you can access free resources. So every month I put up like affirmations, there's articles, there are free desktop, there's wallpapers for your desktop, for your mobile, but like, and it's themed. So like this month is all about confidence. So we're talking all about how you can improve, you know, build your self-confidence. Last year was a lot on leadership, but you can get all those resources for free. And then also you can connect in our community. So you can go in and chat with other women, meet other people. And then there's a paid membership at $19.99 a month, which gives you access to great coursework from some great, amazing women. So we have two lanes or channels, I should say. So one is all about entrepreneurship. So as a person who is an entrepreneur, a lot of times you talk to people and they don't really tell you how they did something. They're just sort of like surfacey about like, oh yeah, and I started it and then I was just lucky. Nope, that's not how it works for most of us. No. So we have built a syllabus with courses for people to actually talk about, like, how do you start the business? Talk to me about trademarking. Talk to me about like
the actual raising how-tos.
Yeah. Talk to me about raising funds and getting grants and all of those things. So we offer that type of coursework. And then there's the other track, which is my favorite. It's the evolution of you. And that is all about the things that make us who we are as women. So Silencing Your Inner Mean Girl is one of the courses.
Even the 2-minute version.
Yes, yes. How to, you know, building boundaries with ease. I actually just posted up a course about leadership and really finding that, like how to find your own brand of magic. So they're all courses about, like, for women who are in the corporate world, women who are just in every, like, women in college, you know, everybody. So I think that you can find something that you can relate to, because we're all women experiencing the same things. And I think that there's just an opportunity for us to always learn from each other and just to learn. Like, I just feel like you should always be growing. Like, I can look at the evolution of, you know, for myself over the last year and just like how different I am this year versus last year. And it's just like so awesome to see that happening. And a lot of that happens because of a lot of the people that I met over this last year. So,
well, you are exactly the type of woman that I love inviting to the Driven Woman podcast as a guest, because wherever your drive comes from and whatever you focus it at, like your mindset of resiliency, taking risks, greeting failure with openness and curiosity, not giving too much time and attention to the inner mean girl, and just having that spirit of personal growth and development and forward momentum, no matter what, to me, that's what's going to create the very best life you could possibly have, because the unexpected's going to happen and you're going to deal with it as it does, but you are creating your own evolution. And that's what's inspired to me. And I'm so grateful that you've been here to share your story with everyone.
Thank you. What
is the best platform? We'll make sure that we have links to your podcast, links to the Glow Up Girl community and university. What is the best social media platform to find you on?
Instagram. So we are Glow Up Girl on Instagram. So that's probably where we spend the most of our time. But if you go to our website, glowupgirl.com, you can find all our other social links as well.
Awesome. I'll make sure that we link to all the places that you can be found in the show notes. Thank you for being our guest today. And you inspire me, Kyra, honest.
Oh, thank you.
So welcome.
Hey, Driven Woman. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Maybe you've been listening to it from the beginning, or maybe you are a brand new listener, but either way, I am so glad you're here. And I hope that you are being inspired and motivated and actually learning how to move your life forward with each and every episode you hear. But I want you to know that there is a whole other level that is so much more powerful, and that is actually working with me. I want to invite you to consider that this fall 2021, is your time. I'm reintroducing my group coaching program. It'll be a small group experience that I will carefully curate by choosing the just right members. You might be one of them. To get on the interest list, click on the link in the show notes. There's no obligation, but you won't be able to hear the details unless you get on the list. Okay, so it's coming soon. I want to make sure that you learn everything you want to know to make the right choice for you. Now, if one-on-one is the only way for you to go, there's a link for that too. That starts with a free consultation to make sure that I'm the right coach for the right reason at the right time for you. But if group is more your jam, you got to get on the list. You want to hear from one of my other clients and what she felt about working with me? Have a listen to this.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I'm so, I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means, no one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community.